As we transition into ordinary time from the Easter season, we have two feasts, the Feast of the Holy Trinity today, and next week the Feast of the Body and Blood of the Lord, also known as Corpus Christi. And these are kind of idea feasts, and they've been around for a long time. The kind of sense of the faithful throughout the centuries that there were certain ideas that needed to be celebrated on a particular feast. And so today we have the Holy Trinity. But we talk about Trinity here a lot. I confess it's kind of a major theme of mine. This indwelling of the three persons in the Trinity, they're dying for each other, that the definition of love, God is love, John's Gospel tells us, the definition of love is given in the Trinity because they love each other so much that they are inside of one another and yet remain distinct. Three separate, distinct persons, and yet so much within each other that they are one God. And one of the ways that love is expressed in the Trinity is that they're giving themselves to each other constantly. So the Son is laying down his life. You know, when Jesus, in the incarnation of the Son, lays down his life on the cross, that's not some new idea. That's not something new to the nature of the Son. The nature of the Son has always been to give his life. But that's also the nature of the Father, too. The Father gives of himself in begetting the Son. And the Spirit is giving himself in union between the other two. So there's this kind of dance of love, you might say. I think it's kind of interesting that while all creation in some way reflects its Creator, so there's something of God that can be found in every particle. And within the atom, there are protons, neutrons, and what's the third one? Electrons. Thank you. I'm not a scientist. Those three are in a continual dance. They're spinning around each other all the time. That kind of reflects the glory of the Trinity, because that dance of love has been going on for all eternity, and when God creates outside God's self, something of that gets reflected in creation itself. But of course, Genesis tells us that the pinnacle of God's creation is humanity. And so humanity reflects God in ways that the rest of creation cannot, by intelligence, by free will, by the ability to love, by choice. Not compelled, but by choice. And so Genesis would tell us, and Exodus would tell us, that it's all about relationship. God wants to choose Israel to be in love with him. And he wants to choose Israel to be a model for the rest of the human race, for the rest of the world, of what divine love in humanity, in human form, would look like. And of course, Israel failed over and over again. And so Moses, in this conversation with God, says, yes, we are indeed a stiff-necked people. It's a confession for the whole nation of Israel that we don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your compassion, your mercy, your grace. But if it pleases you, come along in our company. Be in relationship with us. And God says, actually, it does please me. And so for the rest of human history, there is God in relationship with Israel. And now with the new Israel, the church. Does that mean that the church is faultless? Of course not. We are a stiff-necked people too. We fail, we sin over and over again. But those failures and those sins actually become the occasion for our experiencing mercy. which is so characteristic of God. God, who is the judge of all, chooses not to judge. And that's what that gospel passage, and that's the central tenet of Christian faith. We hear that all our lives. For he did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but to redeem it, to save it, to choose it again in a new, ever new way. We are forever being stiff-necked and walking away from God, and God, like the shepherd searching out the lost sheep, is always longing for us, always ready to bring us back, always ready to hold us. And that's how we experience God's love. And over a lifetime, that becomes so predominant in our consciousness that we begin to trust it implicitly. And one of the ways we build that trust is by coming here week after week after week all our lives and eating it and drinking it, communing with it, recognizing ritually and sacramentally that we have never really been apart from God, that the union with God and his creation and the union with God and humanity was never broken on God's part. We're the ones who cut the ties. And despite our repeatedly alienating ourselves from God, God is always bringing us back. God is always loving us into existence. That creation is ongoing, not only in the universe, but in each and every one of us. We're being recreated over and over again by God's compassionate love, and that has formed us into who we are and who we will be in the realized kingdom.